across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
All right, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06. It's Wednesday morning, August 7th. Nice to have you along. Coming up this hour, we'll check in with Todd Alba. He's on his way to the site in Eau Claire, where Vice President Kamala Harris and her new running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, will be holding a rally later around midday or so before they head off to do another one in Michigan. We've got our homeroom segment this week has Sachin Chetta, who is going to be talking about threats to public education, kind of a back-to-school checklist of things to watch out for as we get set to start the new school year. And we'll talk about some of the more, shall we say, Midwestern reactions to Tim Walz being added to the ticket as running mate. But first, it's another lovely day up here up north. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to tell us what we've got to expect for today and for the rest of the work week here. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day. Once again, temperatures this morning ranging from about 43 degrees to 68 across the state. We are looking at some thick fog off towards Black River Falls and Menominee. That will all burn off within this hour. We're going to have a beautiful day today with a high pressure system in place, a lot of sunshine on tap for us. Highs climbing from the mid-70s north to the upper 70s further south. And of course, we are looking at a cold front that is going to be moving through this evening. So that's going to spark up some chances for some scattered showers throughout probably after 4 o'clock into the northwestern parts of the state. And that is going to be moving throughout Wisconsin overnight and into early tomorrow morning. So southern parts could be waking up to a few scattered showers tomorrow morning. This is not a heavy event. Nothing will be severe. And then after that, temperatures still crisp, still cool as we go through the rest of the week and even into the weekend.
Even into the weekend. But here's my beef, though.
Yeah.
Once again, there is this slight chance of, you know, that a shower could pop up somewhere where you are, which, again, for somebody who has already had his Jeep flooded once by an unexpected pop-up shower, it's like, I only drop that top now when it's like, you know, the 0%. We haven't had a 0% chance of rain over, say, a 3-day period in a very long time, but there's just always the chance that we're going to get some rain out there.
I agree with you. It's like every few days, it's got to come once again. So yep. I get it. But I will say Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I think you have a good shot if you could take that top off.
All right. I hope. From Rob, good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 53. Yesterday was a perfect weather day, mowing lawns, 3 jobs in Wittenberg, 2 in Clintonville. Yesterday, you had a meatball sandwich at the Quick Trip in Clintonville. It was an awesome, enjoyable, beautiful day with Brittany back in the weather chair and has just gotten better and the humidity is gone. Rob, I did not know they had meatball sandwiches at Quick Trip. This changes everything.
Oh, yeah, right? They do. Yeah, their breakfast is unparalleled, too.
Oh, yes. I mean, the sausage, egg, and cheese croissant, mm-hmm. yes.
Western omelet.
The hash browns, sign mm-hmm. me up. Yeah. But a meatball sandwich, if this is dangerous, if true.
Rob, stay hydrated. Stay safe, yeah, stay hydrated. Rob,
yes, please do. All right, Brittany, have a wonderful day.
You too, thanks.
All right, we'll see you. There has been a lot said about just how Midwestern is this Tim Walz fella. And I don't have any kind of exhaustive list here, and I don't know if you've seen much of any, Greg, but there's one here that says, Tim Walz is the kind of guy that slaps his thigh, stands up and says, well, when it's time for the guests to get going. Tim Walz, 10,000%, stands at his doorstep when it's raining and says, we needed this. What's the one that we had yesterday where he says, I made good time.
Yep.
And wherever he's driving, he made good time. Yeah. I saw an interview with Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota on TV yesterday, and somebody else heard it and caught this and said, if I just heard correctly on TV, Amy Klobuchar just said her mother-in-law gave the Walz family a chicken parmesan bake when their baby son was born. These are absolutely violent levels of Midwestern.
He's the kind of guy who, when his neighbor across the street's doing some work, he just yells across, "Hey, you need a hand? Need a hand? Mm-hmm. I got some tools."
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted. They said, "Sure, Sir Walls can and Vance can debate, or they can just meet privately. Vance can open up about how he's not sure where he went down the dark path. Then Walls will give him a hug, assure him everything is okay, and everyone makes mistakes, and he'll drop out of the race."
I could totally see that. Yeah. I mean, that's just that's the kind of guy that Tim Walz is. Tony from Ashland going, "Is this the show I saw on TikTok talking about Governor Walz taking a road trip?" Yes, Tony, that's us. So, you know, we've got somebody at Civic Media who makes a TikTok out of something you and I do every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody does that.
We don't know who.
I think his name
is Dylan or something.
It's a mystery. But yeah, yesterday's topic was how Midwestern the governor would be driving out to Pennsylvania. Another one says Governor Walz has shown further violent tendencies and extremism by offering lemon bars and scotcheroos on the opening day of the Minnesota legislative session. He is clearly a madman.
He's gonna walk up to the Secret Service and kick the tires and go, "We got a change for these wheels? It's getting cold."
Oh, that reminds me. Oh, this is such a good one. I'm going to send you a link. I don't know if we can get this on in time, okay, but it is a video clip of Tim Walz from 2018. I mean, he's got some super funny, typical dad videos that he puts up. He's got one with his daughter at the Minnesota State Fair, which is amazing. One where he's climbing a ladder to get a dog out of the dog had locked itself in the bathroom or something like that. And here's one from 2018 where he's giving a pro tip on fixing your car. Here's Tim Walz.
"Hey, everybody. Tim here. 11 days till the election, but it's my pro tip of the day out on the road. I got to show you this. This right here is the headlight harness on a 2014 Ford Edge. Ford, this is unacceptable. It burned out hot on the connector. So for $799 at Napa Auto Parts here in the city, you can replace this. Just clip off the back, use some shrink wrap connectors on there, tape it back together and put it back in. It's about a 5-minute fix and you're back on the road safe and sound." So pro tip of the day. Second one is get out and vote for One Minnesota. Get out and let's take this state in a direction we know it needs to go. Go vote.
That's so perfect. Just perfect right there.
I mean, to be his friend.
Now, I have to say, I was surprised. I knew that Kamala Harris was roughly the same age as me. I just turned 60. She's about to turn 60.
Yeah.
Tim Walz just turned 60.
Yeah.
You know, we're all in that same ballpark, but he's clearly the kid that grew up on the farm and could tell you how to replace the headlight harness on a Ford Edge.
Yeah.
Whereas that is not in my skill set. But as people went on to say, tune in right now for a huge policy unveil from Vice President Walz. Walz steps to the microphone. 50-pound bags of deer corn are $9.99 at Reed's Family Outdoor Outfitters. Get out there and buy some deer corn.
But you know what? We're listening to these clips. We're talking about him. It just goes to show and prove the energy that he's bringing, along with the energy that Kamala is bringing, and it also shows that people can just be good and be in government. I mean, I don't claim to know either one of them well enough to know if there are skeletons or anything like that. But what I do know is that it is apparent that both of these people deeply love this country and they want to do good by us. And maybe I'm naive or gullible, but it just feels good.
It does feel good. That's exactly what it is. You know, Tony chiming in on YouTube, "I love everything about this." And why, again, why wouldn't you, if you're just being yourself, if you're just, and if that genuine self is a good person, you know, who wants to help other people. And yeah, did Tim Walz tell a couch joke about J.D. Vance? Yeah, he did, because he can do that too. Mm-hmm. He gives as good as he gets, you know, but he is also the one that in his speech talked about that we're going to have some disagreements, but let's get back to the point where we can have those disagreements like all the rest of us have to do in our regular lives, you know, and do so in a rational way, one that doesn't ratchet up talk of political violence or have to cheat in elections or anything like that. We want to have some fun again. And I just recall, and I haven't mentioned this one for a while here, but you know what? Part of what got me started in, well, being a political junkie, a news junkie, thinking about public service, was an internship that I did with my legislator back in the day in St. Paul. And what I saw in the Capitol back in, this was 1978, 79, and what I saw were regular folks, because there, you didn't have all the big money in politics yet like you do now. You saw a bunch of regular folks just trying to do their best. It was basically, you know, it was almost on par with city council or school board in terms of, yeah, I just want to go do some good things for my hometown and I'll go do it in the legislature. And I still saw some of those people 15 years ago when I was in the legislature. And there are still some people in there today. But unfortunately, the ratio of good people to, again, the radio-friendly word will be jerks. You know, the ratio of good people to jerks is out of whack. Mm. And so anytime we can lift up somebody who, like in Tim Walz's case, is bringing, here's the new phrase, big dad energy. Anybody who's bringing big dad energy to our politics, I welcome that. And you know what? I would love to get somebody affable and relatable on the Republican side running as well. I don't know who people think might be the best example of that, but if it's somebody who, again, really wants to serve, you can tell they're a loving parent and they're just real.
Yeah.
Who is that? Who is that? And not for this year. This year is pretty well set. Again, we think so. But as you look ahead to 2028, who could be that person on the Republican side? Who's bringing the big dad energy or the big mom energy in the future? I genuinely want to know who we think these folks are, because then we'll watch. We'll see how they. We've had people before who they look genuine coming up, and then next thing you know, they want to just give tax breaks to the very wealthy and not do anything else. So 855-75-CIVIC would be the number to call or text and give us a call or a text. Tell us who's bringing the big dad energy on the Republican side in the future. We'll unpack some more of the news, and then Such and Cheddar joins us at the bottom of the hour for our homeroom segment, and then Todd Alba from the rally site in Eau Claire, where Governor Walz and Vice President Kamala Harris will be appearing a little later today. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's not like Tim Walz had salt and pepper up on the stage there, but he said in so many words, you know, we need to get back to that place where people get to live their lives. And we'll play that for you in just a second. If you missed it in the last hour in our climate check segment, we had talked a couple of weeks back about the climate record for Kamala Harris. It's pretty impressive. Tim Walz, even more impressive. And if you missed that show, what you can do is head over to civicmedia.us, and you can not only see the stations that are part of the Civic Media Network, but you can see pages for each individual show. And on each of those show pages, you can click on any particular hour and listen back to it. Or you can just subscribe as a podcast and get all of it. So head over to civicmedia.us to hear more about that. Speaking of climate, that takes us over to the Up North News Daily Newsletter, where summers are hot. Summers have been getting hotter. There have been more storms, more intense storms. Every year, about 1,300 Americans die from exposure to extreme heat. It is the country's number one weather-related cause of death. And the number of 90-degree days in Wisconsin is expected to grow rapidly over the coming years. You can learn the details in the newsletter there. And also a link to a new op-ed on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, where it's really about PFAS chemicals, and it's really past time for Republicans in the legislature to put people in front of polluters, put them above polluters, stop serving the interests of corporations who have contaminated our water, and get back to doing their jobs of making sure that we have clean water and clean air. That's all in our daily newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Willie Adames hit a pair of two-run homers as the Brewers routed the Atlanta Braves 10-0 last night. Adames was 4-for-5. Contreras was 3-for-4 with four RBIs of his own. The Brewers scored 10 runs on 16 hits. Colin Ray was dominant over seven innings. He struck out a season-high 9, allowing 5 hits and 1 walk. The Brewers are now 14-5 in Colin Ray's 19 starts this season. Freddie Peralta will get the start tonight. 6:20 first pitch, 5:45 the pregame on stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls that are part of the Civic Media Radio Network. And tomorrow they wrap up that series in Atlanta with a game where the first pitch is at 11:20 in the morning. So a little lunchtime with the Brewers tomorrow as they wrap up their road trip and start a long homestand on Friday. All right, so Governor Tim Walz was introduced at this rally in Philadelphia yesterday and had quite a bit to say, but the big nugget that I took out of it, or one of them, I guess I should say, is this notion of freedom and, you know, or liberty, however you want to put it, and the freedom that comes with, you know, being able to live your life on your terms if you're, you know, doing that and not hurting your neighbor, the freedom to vote, to not have your vote impinged, the freedom to be free of gun violence, the freedom to love somebody, the freedom of your body when it comes to your health. This was the way that the governor put it in his remarks yesterday.
Some of us are old enough to remember when it was Republicans who were talking about freedom. It turns out now what they meant was the government should be free to invade your doctor's office. In Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and their personal choices that they make. Even if we wouldn't make the same choice for ourselves, there's a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
I don't know why that's so hard for some folks in politics to understand, but that was put very, very succinctly. Tim Walz is good at making things succinct.
Mm-hmm.
He's weird. You know, feed kids. You know,
yeah.
Simple things like this. He can carry that kind of a message, and so I will expect to hear more of the same in Eau Claire later today. And Todd Elba's going to tell us more about what's at the site a little later on this hour.
You know, Pat, you asked earlier before about who's the shining light on the GOP who has a similar vibe that can bring the big dead energy. And one name that came up to me was Adam Kinzinger. Unfortunately, he's no longer in office because of everything that's going on. He didn't like the way the GOP was going and was a vocal critic of the new direction. But my wonder is will someone be able to bring the big parent energy to the GOP main stage and cut through what's going on right now? Because you could have someone like a Tim Walz who has the heart, the love, the GOP conservative values. And then I feel like someone who brings that and says, but we got to work together. We got to be able to agree without being disagreeable and disagree with, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. People are just like, Rhino, get off the stage. Who can either tamp that rhetoric down or help dissipate it where we can get back to a place of getting along.
Yeah. And he can do that. And now we're going to make a pivot to the really serious on this. My day ended yesterday, as it often ends, doom scrolling on my phone and looking to see what kinds of things, you know, might want to bring up on the show. And I didn't know that there would ever be a proper place to bring this up. But the last thing I watched was a short little video that a woman made on Twitter. And that was it. I had to put the phone down because I was done for the night. It was when she talked about what Tim Walz means to her and so many others. Tim Walz is now the stand-in for the dad they lost to Fox News or to Trumpism and MAGA World. The dads who kick their own children out of the house when there's something they don't agree with their lifestyle, their, you know, career choice, whatever it is about their identity. People have lost a lot of dads that way. And Tim Walz is what, I don't know what the actual statistic is, but Tim Walz is what the other 9 out of 10 dads aren't. In the case of all these folks who agreed with kind of a post. He's a farmer. He's very practical. Let's solve things. He joined the military. He served his country. He served in public service. He was a teacher. He's been a football coach. He's been affable. When he met one of his students, wanted to start an LGBTQ chapter in their high school. And he agreed to be the advisor because that was going to send a message. If the football coach is the sponsor of this group, nobody's going to be doing any bullying of any kids that look to be a part of that. And so when we make the jokes about, you know, Tim Walz is now America's dad and things like that, it actually does connect to a lot of folks. And maybe it wasn't a dad, maybe it was a grandpa, maybe it was an uncle, whatever the case may be. But you see all the qualities that were in their dad. Their dad was maybe very mechanical. Maybe their dad played football or whatever the case may be. But somewhere along the line took this dark turn and stopped caring so much and started far too many conversations with, I'm not a racist, but, which the answer is always, shh, stop right there. But then, of course, they never do. So Tim Walz can be that stand-in. And maybe, depending on how the election goes, can be that stand-in for years to come. We are going to talk about our homeroom segment with Sachin Chetta coming up in just a bit on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This story is, who are you to judge? There's only one true judge, and that's God. So chill and let my father do his job. Well, welcome to our homeroom segment where we talk about the benefits of and the threats to public education in Wisconsin. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk to Todd Alba in Eau Claire for the Harris Walz rally that's going to be happening later today. But first, let's talk a bit about schools and what I guess you'd call a back-to-school checklist. Not so much for the school supplies and not so much for the things that teachers need to get their classrooms ready, but more a checklist of the things that one should look out for when it comes to weakening our public education system. And so that's my take on it. But somebody who looks at it more from an advocacy standpoint would be the executive director of the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, Sachin Chetta. Sachin, hello. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Thanks so much for having me.
Nice to have you here. Let's start with your role first, because I know folks are familiar with the state superintendent, Jill Underley. As an executive director, tell us more about some of your duties for DPI.
So I'm just one of the senior leaders in the organization supporting the superintendent and her vision for a stronger public education system for every family in Wisconsin. My role is to oversee things like communications, the legal department, our policy and budget and research team, and help the deputy superintendent run the agency. So that's my role.
And I think it's a really good role for you, because one of the things that we've learned about, you know, Dr. Underley in her role, and again, this is not passing judgment on anybody else who came before, up or down, but that she, in her own right, has no shyness, does not shy away a bit from her advocacy for education. And I don't believe there's a shy bone in your body either in all the years I've known you.
Well, I appreciate that, Pat. Look, she comes to work every day believing that we need to have an education system that serves every child every day with a quality public education, making sure that kids are prepared to lead exciting and fulfilled lives, however they measure productivity. We need to make sure every kid knows how to read so that they can read to learn for their whole lives. And that's what we're about at the Department of Public Instruction. And frankly, we're working with every type of school that we need to under Wisconsin law, whether that's public schools, charter schools, private schools, to help improve education for every student in Wisconsin.
And one of the big topics on education quality these days has surrounded something known as Act 20, which was a law that was passed by the legislature, and now there's a disagreement over funding it. We've covered this in one or two prior segments about, you know, ways to improve reading and literacy. And like so many other things in education, when you talk about curriculum, nobody's saying that there's any one silver bullet, but certainly you need to have a good evaluation process on, you know, what types of curriculum work well, which have not been shown to work well. And then you get into all the funding that's behind all of this. Where do Wisconsin schools stand at the start of the school year when it comes to Act 20? Is this now a mandate to change or to evaluate reading programs, and the legislature essentially isn't funding that, and we have an unfunded mandate, right? Or am I not describing that correctly?
Yeah, I think that's right. Look, so if people aren't familiar, Act 20 is a law that was passed by the legislature, signed into law by Governor Evers. DPI worked extensively with the legislature to try to improve this legislation. And it comes from a place – look, I'm a progressive. It comes from a place where we need to put the science first, right? We've tried quite a few different things in reading, but the data tells us that not enough kids are reading at grade level leading into third grade, and that leads to kids – getting to graduation without the literacy skills that they need, right? And so leaving the ideology aside, that's the progressive way, making sure we follow the science. And what the science tells us is that there are certain ways of teaching reading that work better than other ways, right? That we need to make sure that more kids know how to read. So everyone got together. There was a bipartisan agreement to change the way that we teach reading, to impose new curriculum, to provide new training for teachers, to make sure those teachers were coached, to provide tutoring to students. It was a pretty comprehensive plan, not fully funded enough. They put $50 million behind that program in this biennium. But this is where the Republican legislature always chooses to play politics instead of just doing the right thing. They want to make schools political battlegrounds. And so what has happened is out of the $50 million that they passed into law, the governor signed into law, the Joint Finance Committee has released about $300,000 of it. So they've released 1.5% of the funding that they've allocated. We're now less than 4 weeks from the start of school. And, you know, you've got to train these teachers on these new curricula. You have to implement these new curricula. The schools have to buy these new curricula, right? They have to buy materials. There's a lot of work that goes into this. It's not something that you can just snap your finger and say this is done. And because the legislature has chosen to play politics, they're locked in a dispute with the governor over the most arcane of, like, what is subject to a partial veto and what is not subject to a partial veto. And honestly, I don't have much of a dog in that fight. They can fight with the governor as much as they want about what his veto authority should be. In the meantime, what they shouldn't do is leave schools and teachers and kids and families behind, which is what they're doing by not releasing any of this funding. And again, they're prioritizing the political fight over implementing the law that they agreed was necessary to improve public education in Wisconsin. And it's just, it's really disappointing that we have a legislature that always chooses politics over doing the right thing, even when we have bipartisan agreement about what doing the right thing means.
And look, if you're going to talk about education, and we talk about civics education a lot, folks understand how a veto works, and we understand how a veto override works. And if you have the votes to override a governor's veto, then do it. If you don't have the votes to override a veto, it's the law. Follow the law, it seems. But somehow there's this new process where the Joint Finance Committee says, well, no, we're going to insert ourselves and we're not going to release the money, even though it's already been allocated. And so that in a nutshell is, you know, the challenge that our educators are facing right now. There was a new mental health survey, I guess you'd call it, the 2023 Wisconsin Youth Risk Behavior Survey, talking about the youth mental health crisis. As we go into the school year right now, from some of the reporting that's been done, it is still quite a challenge for myriad reasons, but there is still such a challenge to help provide young people with, you know, sense of security and of comfort and of belonging. When the folks at DPI took a look at that, what kind of reaction and what kind of action points can be made, you know, from a school standpoint, not so much a parenting, but at school, what was your takeaway from that?
Yeah, I mean, so this was a report that we released just last week. Superintendent Underly had a press conference along with mental health advocates and mental health providers, just noting that we have a tremendous crisis in the mental health of our kids who are in school. The data tells us that way too many children are struggling. They're struggling with their emotional health. They're struggling with their mental health. They're struggling with feeling supported in the work that they're doing. You know, not everyone can just buckle down and just focus and do the things. We need to support the whole human. And schools are finding that, especially coming out of the pandemic, we're really struggling with kids feeling connected. Social media is having social media has a ton of value. You and I are on social media, but it also has a downside in terms of making kids. Some kids feel isolated. Some kids feel bullied, etc. And so we need to provide children with support. This is about there's the old argument about, are we supporting kids just until the moment of birth, or are we supporting them all the way into adulthood? It's not about imposing judgment. It's about making sure kids feel supported. And so whether that's providing mental health resources, whether that's counselors or social workers or school psychologists, whether it's making sure that there are policies and tools in place to help kids navigate these circumstances. Look, I think it's a big deal that kids have too easy access to guns. Like that's a real challenge in our state. So I think what we have said is that we have to treat this crisis like the crisis that it is. We have to impose real policies and make changes in the way that we do business. We have to make the investments that are necessary to support kids. Because at the end of the day, if we're not supporting kids, we're not supporting the future of our society. We're not supporting our country. We're not being patriots. We're not supporting democracy. We really have to put the children first. And that's all what we're asking for, is to recognize the crisis that kids are in, that too many kids are really struggling every day. And so if you're interested in learning more about the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, please just Google that. Take a look at the news stories. There's a bunch of data on our website at dpi.wi.gov, and learn more about how we can support kids.
And one of the things that could have addressed that more thoroughly was through the state budget. DPI had requested about $80 million to go toward mental health issues, staffing, et cetera. The Republican-controlled legislature cut a lot of that money out of the budget request. Governor Evers restored some of it, $30 million of it, through the American Rescue Plan. But again, there's still that shortfall. But Dr. Underly, to her great credit, notes that there's also things that don't cost any money to create a sense of belonging, to establish, an environment that is safe and supportive, letting kids know how much they matter. But Sachin, that's very tough to do when instead the environment is, let's ban books, let's talk about, bathrooms and things, rather than the quality of education and the mental health of our kids. There's still too many political distractions to be helpful to kids and the real challenges that they face every day.
Yeah, I mean, let me say two quick things. One is, there's absolutely a challenge that LGBTQ kids are feeling this pain much more than other kids, right? And that's because they're getting attacked. Their very sense of inclusion in our society, their sense of belonging in these schools, they're being attacked for who they are, for what they feel inside, whether it's about their gender identity or it's about who they're attracted to. We all know that adolescents and teenagers, have crushes and feel these sorts of things. And we need to make sure that kids feel supported. What's happened is that there's the right-wing agenda has been to make every place a political battlefield, right? They don't want just the floor of Congress or the floor of the legislature to be a political battlefield. They want our neighborhoods to be battlefields. They want our bedrooms to be battlefields. They want our schools to be battlefields. And my view is, look, it's what I said earlier, every child, every day. Let's just support every kid. Let's just make every kid feel included. Let's make every kid feel that they belong. Let's make sure every kid has the resources that they need to succeed. And then we're not paying the downstream costs. We're not paying the downstream costs because kids are hurting themselves or others. We're not paying the downstream costs because people aren't able to function in society, get a job, have a fulfilling career. It's just about being smart, right? And some of this is not ideological. It's very much just being smart, just deciding that we should set politics aside and do the right thing for every kid and make every kid feel included and like they belong. And it's really that simple. Just stop making schools political battlefields.
And yet, we have in this year's campaign, most everybody by now has heard of Project 2025, which mm-hmm. was put together by all sorts of conservative and far-right organizations, touching every aspect of life. And so I'm sure that I can get an answer from you about the things in Project 2025 that, if implemented, would have a direct impact on the quality of education in Wisconsin. When people ask you about Project 2025, what immediately comes to mind for you?
Look, the first thing that I say is they want to eliminate the Department of Education. And I just like that sounds like a great talking point, right? Like, well, let's get rid of government bureaucracy. But at the end of the day, we got to remember that half of the schools in the country rely on Title I funding that comes to the Department of Education to support the needs of kids who come from underprivileged backgrounds, who have lower income backgrounds. Schools across Wisconsin, in rural communities, suburban communities, urban communities, it doesn't matter where you are, schools need that funding in order to function. It pays for school bus drivers. It pays for cafeteria workers. It pays for teachers in the classroom. It pays for librarians. It pays for soccer coaches. It pays for the things that people believe to have a strong public education system. And so you can't just eliminate the Department of Education and say that there's not going to be any impact when you have a program like Title I that impacts half the schools in the country, just as one example. The reality is that we don't want, and families across the political spectrum don't want, schools to be political battlefields, right? It is Republican parents that are speaking up as loud as any other kinds of parents against making book bans the primary interest of right-wing school boards, right? What we want school boards to focus on is, how can we make education better for every kid? How can we build great school buildings? How can we hire the best teachers? How can we make sure that kids succeed, whether they're going to college or going into a trade, going to technical college, starting their career at a job, whatever they're doing? And I think what people are sick of is they're sick of the politics entering our school buildings, right? They just want to know that we're going to focus on what's right. And so that one example in Project 2025 of just throwing out this talking point that really has this incredible downstream impact on every community in Wisconsin, I think that's the kind of thing that we can't just be so blasé about these things, and we can't just act like politics doesn't affect our daily lives. It really does, and we need to do better for our kids.
Sachin Shetta, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Great to catch up with you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me, Pat. We'll see you soon.
You bet. And when we come back, Todd Alba is at the site of the Harris Waltz rally in Eau Claire. We'll touch base with him next. You're up north. What did you find for us?
More Iron Maiden or Metallica, as you call it.
Well, which is it? Is it Iron Maiden or Metallica? I don't know.
Well, it has to do with the fact that it's Bruce Dickinson's birthday. It's Iron Maiden.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. All right. Todd Alba's on the road here, and I know that he's in a part of Eau Claire not well known for its great cell reception. So hopefully this will work out. Tony writes in on YouTube, the over-under is 2.5 couches in Todd's video today, and Tony is taking the over. Todd is approaching or at the site of the Harris Walls rally. Mr. Alba, good morning. How are you? Yep, that's the reception. That's the reception I'm talking about. Todd, you want to try again? Hello? Nope. For those of us watching on, you know what? Go ahead and turn your camera off on your phone, and we'll see if that
helps. I can hear you.
So.
All right, hang on.
There we go. Okay. There. Hey, I hear you. There,
can you hear me now better?
I hear you crystal clear.
Really? Better?
How are you? Are you hearing?
Well, I'm all right. I could see and hear you guys just fine.
Okay. Well, good. Then you just go ahead and tell us where you are and what you're expecting today.
Well, visual this. It's a beautiful late summer or midsummer day here in the fields of the Chippewa Valley. The soybeans look great. The alfalfa is fantastic, by the way, with all the rain up here. It's a pretty blue sky, some high cirrus clouds overhead. And as Les Nesbitt once said on WKRP in Cincinnati, the crowd seems curious but well-behaved. So that's the picture I'm setting here in the Chippewa Valley.
Oh, man. Are you already seeing a healthy turnout of folks waiting to get into the site on the north side of Eau Claire?
There is currently no waiting line. The general public parking lot
I would say there's 100-ish cars already in the general parking area. I am in the queue, as they say, with the media, waiting to get into the media parking lot here, which opens up in about an hour. So I'm going to have about an hour here to just chill and take in the scene. And lots of law enforcement, as you would expect of a visit this type. Lots of media types. I was watching CBS this morning. I guess it's now at CBS Mornings. Ed O'Keefe is here in Eau Claire. I'm a big Ed O'Keefe fan. So maybe I'll use the opportunity to get out and walk around and see if I can find Ed O'Keefe.
Well, there you go. I mean, there's all kinds of folks in town today. J.D. Vance is apparently going to be in town as well. Getting back to Tony's comment about
I did my civic duty. I went last night, got into town.
Here's the thing. While we reestablish contact here, and this is a Big Bang Theory joke. There's a character there, Will Wheaton, and occasionally the Sheldon character gets mad at him and shouts out, "Wheaton!"
And I warned the.
And there you go. Awesome. And now we just dropped
this
right off.
This is great. All right, cool. Todd, if you want to call in, we can do that. But this is
Hopefully he'll give us a call on the studio line, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. Anyway, north of Eau Claire is the Eau Claire Chippewa County line. And north of the county line right there by him is the Chippewa County town of Wheaton, which is, for some reason, just renowned for its bad cell phone reception. And I don't know if it's... Is that a phone company thing? Is the town not allowing enough towers to be built? But it's a running joke with me and Sherry. We'll be trying to make a phone call there, and they'll get dropped, and we'll just go, Wheaton!
I love that show so much.
That's what it is. It's something in the town of Wheaton. Just does not. And so I'm hopeful that for this rally today, we'll get a nice clean feed from the satellite trucks that are there for all the networks and things, because if we were depending on a cell phone signal to get that out, well, you can hear for yourself just how well that's going to go. But I'll tell you what, if you've got the Eau Claire police chief from Selena Heller, we'll play that in just a second here.
I do.
Again, the chief was part of a large presence yesterday as they were getting the site ready. And it was wonderful that Selena Heller was able to stop by there last evening and talk to Chief Matt Rokas about the security and about the role of the Eau Claire PD versus the Secret Service.
With recent events, there are heightened concerns about tomorrow's events. We're working very hard with our partners, whether it be the Secret Service or other law enforcement agencies. There's a very good plan in place, and we're going to do our very best to make sure it's a safe event. The U.S. Secret Service is the lead agency for events like this. Their primary responsibility is protection of the dignitary who's visiting us. With both events being in the city of Eau Claire, our department has a large role in ensuring the safety of the visitor, also the attendees that'll be coming out to see them speak as well. Our role and responsibility has to do with getting them to the site, whether it be coming into the airport, motorcade, to the site security for the site itself, and then getting them, helping them on to their next stop, outside of Eau Claire.
And they will, as they'll be heading to Michigan afterwards for a rally there as well. And Todd just texted in his apologies, and I did warn him ahead of time that area is notorious for that. So we'll keep that in mind for his efforts to broadcast later today. Although, as I understand it, it won't be so much about hearing Todd, because Civic Media is going to carry the remarks from the vice president, from her new running mate, and so Todd will talk about it later when he's got a really good connection. And I think that folks will really enjoy, for anybody that didn't catch the rally in Philly yesterday, I think you're really going to like hearing something that, again, is upbeat, that certainly understands that, campaigns are a battle, but it's a battle of ideas. It's not supposed to be a literal battle. And that's what I think, Greg, folks are going to get out of this. I think people are going to be driving away in a different frame of mind than people who are, say, coming out of a Trump rally.
I mean, don't forget, people who go to and drive away from a Trump rally, when they hear the words he says, they're just as fired up because they believe in that rhetoric and style. But once again, as I said before, it just has this, you know, this sense of good and excitement and positivity that, you know, especially where people had this feeling of the Biden campaign is like, oh gosh, we support him, but when Kamala came out there was a shot of energy, and Tim Walz is just another shot of energy.
Yes, exactly. And so people will get to hear that today. Of course, you'll be talking more about it on Matt and Air on Air little hours from now about that. So stay tuned for that. And then, of course, Todd Alba will be along perhaps on either side of today's rally, again, depending on the signal. Our thanks to today's guests, Melissa Baldoff, Melissa Kay, Sachin Chetta, and thanks to all of you for being here today. Don't forget, we have our Women Win Wisconsin segment coming up tomorrow. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a nationwide pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.